Greetings. I made a comment about how rebuke is an act of love. This was in the conversation about the importance of dialogue as compared to monologue. But rebuke, you'll see this many times. It's elenko in the Greek. You'll see it many times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Obviously, Old Testament, we're talking about a Hebrew version, or in the Septuagint, it is the same word. But we find it a bunch of times. So let's just take a look at a few, just to get some ideas. For example, Psalm 38, O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath. You know, so the objective there, I would suggest, is if you're angry, I don't want to feel the wrath of anger while you rebuke me, while you correct me. You know, it's one thing to get the corrections, another thing to get an anger behind that. You know, there's Psalm 94. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Obviously, this is describing God. He who disciplines the nation, does he not rebuke? In other words, does he not offer correction? Psalm 141, let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me, which I would suggest is consistent with having the Lord rebuke you. We don't want the Lord to rebuke us in his wrath, and we want the righteous to smite me in kindness. In other words, a person who is trying to do something, correct me, do it in kindness, not in wrath. But then, of course, we can look at some others. Proverbs 9, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. So, you know, it's one thing to correct somebody who is willing for the correction. It's another thing to, somebody who doesn't want the correction, you may find wrath come back. But it goes on. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. So this is the difference. If somebody wants correction, they will take it because they are wise. If they are a scoffer, they don't want correction. Which I would suggest, again, it is consistent. And this goes back to the idea, who's going to do the best correction? The Lord. And obviously we want him to correct us while we can be corrected without wrath. Proverbs 24, these are also sayings to the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, peoples will curse him, nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will be a delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. So it's one thing to say, oh, look, they're doing evil things, isn't that nice? As opposed to, oh, look, they're doing evil things, and offer a rebuke. A correction. It's important to do. And again, and of course, we have to keep in mind the idea of rebuking a scoffer. So, you know, a lot of context is necessary in each case, and this is where wisdom is required. A verse that many people have heard, Isaiah 2, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for the many peoples, and he shall bear they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This same passage is repeated in Micah 4. But he shall decide disputes. So it's the Lord that says, okay, I am going to rebuke or make a wise judgment between parties with differing positions. Obviously, we want the Lord to do that, not man, because clearly the judgments of the Lord are going to be a whole lot better than the judgments of man. So this is obviously looked at as a very good thing. Another passage that I think is fun, is very something I've always enjoyed, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The reason together there is the same word about rebuke. So it's an interaction with the Lord. It's kind of, I want to go, I'm going to the Lord for his rebuke, his correction. And it's described as reasoning because, and I would suggest the reason it's described as reasoning is because it's something I want. Let us reason together. I want to go to the Lord because I want to know his ways. And what he is going to do is he's going to show me how my sins, which are like scarlet, he's going to make white as snow. He makes white as snow. I don't. He does. And so having his rebuke, his correction, and then reasoning with him, reasoning in the sense of getting his rebuke, is a marvelous thing. You'll find, for example, in the New Testament, John 16, in reference to the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll convict. This is the same. This is the same word where we have the root of rebuke. So this rebuke or correction is the same thing in the New Testament. It is a correction. Again, a good thing. Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Again, same word, the exposing or the rebuke of what's happening, the unfruitful works of darkness. Goes on, for it is shameful to even speak the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything becomes visible is light. That exposed and expose them. Again, same word. It is this, what we normally find rebuke. And so it's kind of, we're supposed to expose things. Do we see this again? Well, yes, 2 Timothy 4. It's preach the word. One of the things that I think is so important about that particular passage, because I'm emphatic about it, we see preach. It is a word talking about to herald or proclaim. It is not, because when you use the word preach, it gives a connotation as the guy behind a pulpit. It's a general call. So preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And of course, one of the other parts in that, we do have the reprove, rebuke. One of the other things that's important in that, complete patience. It's not, I want this done now. Or if you're not listening, I give up. No, it's a continual, steady commitment. It's a process. It takes a long time. If you go to 1 Timothy 5, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so they may rest may stand in fear. We're saying, okay, there is something that somebody is doing, especially an elder. Elder is somebody who is, I know this is hard to understand, who is older, and should have matured. And if they are continuing in sin, they are rebuked in the presence of all publicly. What you're doing, you should be a wise enough man to know better than this. And we're going to call you out publicly saying, this is wrong. And if you become just, you're a foolish old man, others will see this and say, I don't want to be like that. So that the rest may stand in fear. Because it is important for, as we mature, to not need the rebuke because we have become we have repented from the things that we shouldn't be doing because we've had the time to mature. We can go on because especially this idea of elder is talked again about in Titus. Verse 9, he must hold firm to the to the trustworthy word as taught, so they may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. In other words, if you have matured, you should be able to correct or rebuke others when necessary. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths or commands of people who turn away from the truth. Declare these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. That was chapter 1 and chapter 2. This objective here is constant. It is, we don't just simply, oh, you're nice, we'll be polite and whatnot. No, it's a constant effort to correct or rebuke. And it's not a put down. It's not going to somebody and saying you're just bad or something of that nature, but it's a constant correction. It's an act of love. And you can see, for example, Hebrews 12, have you not forgotten the exhortation that addressed you that addresses you all as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary of when reproved by him. When the Lord reproves or rebukes you, this is a wonderful thing. Again, in all these cases, it's the same word in Greek. And then, of course, consistent with that, Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. We are being reproved, we're being rebuked, we're being disciplined, and we need to respond zealously, and in other words, with fervor, I want to do this, and repent. Repent of where we are wrong. And then, of course, I've said that this is an act of love. How do we see this perhaps more clearly? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, where we get this passage about love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. Remember, the I am the Lord is the authority for the love your neighbor. The reason we love our neighbor is because he's the Lord. He gives us the command. The verse before that, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. It's the same word about rebuke. King James is, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. Or the NASB, you may surely reprove your neighbor. Again, the Greek version of this is the same word we saw, elenko. So it's in the New Testament and the Old Testament, obviously Old Testament in the Septuagint version, it is the same. So the idea of rebuke, the correction, and remember that the word means to prove, decide, to judge, rebuke, reprove, to find fault with, to correct. And you do this by word or by deed. So it is something, an active thing that we are called to do. But then, so we can see it in Leviticus 19 as an act of love. But one other thing I think is vital. Very important verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the man of God. So this is who this is addressed to. Your follower of Christ, a man of God, this is for you. All scripture is breathed out for you. For what? It's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, same word, or correction. And it's interesting, reproof, okay, I am being corrected, or correction, that has the same root. It's almost, it's loosely the same word twice, but in the correction is to restore to an upright or right state, or to improve, improvement of your life or your character, some of the definitions of what that means. The scripture is there to correct you, make you, restore you to an upright position, in other words, a righteous position, and to improve your character. And all scriptures breathed out God and profitable for teaching, for reproof. and that the man of God may be complete. Okay, so the scripture is there as our reference for correction, for reproof, and it does it to me. As an act of love, I will take the understanding of the scripture and tell others, tell my brother what's right, what's wrong, to correct him. In the same way, my brother needs to do the same to me, to tell me what is right and wrong, to correct me. It's one thing if my attitude is, I go correct others, that's all, and I don't receive correction, I'm a fool. I'm an arrogant fool. If I go with my brothers, especially in dialogue, then we can together look at the scripture to say, all right, I see a character issue with you. You see a character issue with me. I have done a deed. You have done a deed and whatnot. Let's together look at the scripture to see what is right, what is wrong. And even if we say, okay, we're okay, let's learn more in depth what it is to be obedient to Christ, what it is to love. This idea of rebuke, to go tell a brother a fault. If I go and say that you're a bad person and that's it, I'm writing you off. No. That's not the rebuke talked about here. The rebuke is, I'm telling you, my brother, there's an issue here. And I need to offer you, point you to the scripture as an act of love for correction. As an act of love for correction. I need to be able to do this to others and receive it from others. When we do this, we need to invest the time then with each other, the person offering and the person receiving. It shouldn't be just simply a flippant statement, but, oh, you're correcting me. Let's reason together with this, very much like the, perhaps we might say, like the Isaiah passage, the come, let us reason together. Well, my brother needs to come to me, reason with me, so we can look at the scripture to find what is God saying in this case? I don't want to simply say, get slapped, and no, I won't do that again because I don't want to be slapped. I want to know why I've done things wrong. So when you rebuke me, show me from Scripture so I may learn not only not to do that again, but why. Why am I doing something that's offensive to the Lord? And even more, what should I do to do things in obedience to the Lord? That is rebuke as an act of love. And we need to be able to do it to others and receive it from others. And then when we do that again, together, in dialogue, we look to the scripture. We look to the Lord's instruction that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.